All right, everybody, welcome to the CCAJ show. We have another exciting week of hockey coming up here. Just had one full slate of CCHA action to get to, and we'll talk about what went down in just a moment. Joining me on this week's show is Matt Dean from Minnesota State, the play-by-play man for Mavericks hockey on KTOE. Matt, thanks for coming on.
Yeah, appreciate you having me again.
And also making a return, Matt Pocket from Lake Superior State, just wrapped up the Laker hockey show, which you can watch on Midco Sports Plus. Matt, other Matt. Like we have two Matts, we keep having them on at the same time, but that's okay. Matt Pocket, thanks for coming.
I think this should just be the tradition, just Matt squared from now on.
Okay. We'll certainly give that some consideration. But if we can break you guys up, then I can say Matt, and the people listening won't.
Right.
Or you guys won't be confused by who I'm talking to.
Oh, but that's half the fun, figuring it out.
Good point, good point. All right, let's get to the action here, because I know we have a time constraint on this week's episode. Got to get it all in here. In 40 minutes. We have to do a couple of great interviews coming up. Dawson Tritt from Lake Superior State, as well as Cole Birch from Ferris State. So a couple of Michiganders, although they're not from Michigan. Neither of them are from Michigan. But their schools are. We'll get to those interviews at the midway point here. But we'll start things off with the Lakers coming off of a sweep in their Capo Cup series with Northern Michigan. That was in Marquette. The return trip to the Sioux coming up later this year, but it's going to be tough for Northern to come back with how the Lakers scored, because it's based on goal differential on top of other things. Obviously, if the Lakers win game three, it's all set and done, but a 10-1 goal differential puts them really behind the eight ball, Matt, even if they were to come back and sweep Northern, that being but a great weekend for the Lakers. I should start that way.
Yeah, it was. And, you know, the interesting thing, though, you go back and look at last season between these two teams. So the Capo Cup is decided based on the head-to-head record between the two teams during the regular season. If that record is even, it now goes to goal differential as a tiebreaker. So when you go back to the series from a year ago, Northern won twice and had a +3 goal differential after the two games in Marquette. And then when things shifted to Sault Ste. Marie later in the season, that was mid-January, the Lakers won 5-1 and 5-2. So the Lakers won it on goal differential. A couple of years ago, I can't remember exactly what year this was, but Lake State had won the first game, and there were only two that year. So it might have been during the COVID year, for all I know. You know, I was only there. So anyway, Lake State won the first game like 6-1, and Northern won the next game 5-1, and they actually pulled their goalie up 5-1 in the third to try to get that goal back and bring this thing level. It was one of the most surreal things I've ever seen.
That's Champions League hockey there, is what you're talking about.
It really is, yeah. So, but they're trying to get the goal differential back in their favor so that they could win the cup, and that wound up not happening. The Lakers held on to it despite losing that night. There was no doubt in this series. You know, once things started to play out, the Laker power play was excellent. They scored 4 power play goals this past Friday en route to a big 5-0 win. Rourke Appleby picks up his second career shutout for Lake Superior, and this team just looked good. Controlled the game, I felt, for the most part. You know, Northern, you know, we've talked quite a bit about their offseason of drastic turnover. I think there's a lot of talent on that team. I think when you watch them, there's a lot of good things cooking. It's just so hard to adjust an entire roster that's never been together in college hockey all at the same time. It will take a while for this project to play out. I think there's a good chance of it playing out. It's just not yet. And Lake State, coming off a disappointing Ohio State series, looked very, very good. You get goals out of Timo Bakos, who's now on a 3-game goal streak, Luke Lewandowski, Nate Schweitzer, Dawson Tritt, Johnny Drzinkis, all on the power play. And then the next night, the Cats actually struck first at 2:01 of the first period, And the Lakers rallied late in the first with Dawson Tritt and Timo Bacco scoring again. Timo tapping one home on a wrist shot by Jacob Conrad for his first college point. Grant Hyndman, the Laker captain, scored two career goals, both of them at the Barry Event Center. He made it a 3-1 game, and then Tritt and Conrad getting his first college hockey goal in the third period. So I think control was what stood out. The Lakers controlled the proceedings. Even when they had to play defensively, play without the puck, they were very, very good all the way through. And very impressive from this team that I think sends a shot across the bow a bit to everybody else in the league and says, listen, this team's legit, you know, picked to finish sixth in the league. This team's going to finish a bit higher than that, I think.
Yeah, people like to tend to draw conclusions from a small handful of games, whether they, you know, talking about the 1-3 start for the Lakers or how they played recently. You don't have to go much further over in the UP to Michigan Tech and how they were, you know, the kind of swings they've had, like 2-0 to 2-2, now 6-2. And we'll get to their series in a little bit. But yeah, I think it's tough to kind of jump to conclusions, or maybe easy to, about Lake Superior State from what you've seen from them over the last couple of years. But really a statement series against another Michigan team, which is struggling, obviously, with all the turnover we've seen, a number of new players. But they gave CC a run, who's still undefeated, took them to overtime. And early on, we saw them with Tech. They were, you know, they had a 3-1 lead against Michigan Tech last weekend, a team that's in first place in the league. So this is not, I mean, it's easy to point to Northern's record and say, oh, look, you know, look how bad they are. But this is a team that's probably had some bad luck along the way onto their, in route to their record so far this season.
Well, and Perry, I think, too, you know, you look at Lake State and you talk about bad luck. I mean, look at the injury luck that this team has had. Guys like Connor Milburn, Timo Bakos, Grant Riley, Easton Hess, Mike Brown, all missing time at some point or another. But you look at the totality of the Lakers' season so far. Played really well against Michigan State. Won the exhibition games. Controlled those. Those don't count for anything. You split with Stonehill. You have the Ohio State series. Mike Brown went down with injury 2.5 hours before Friday night against Ohio State. And then Grant Riley gets put in 5 minutes into the hockey game, doesn't come back out to play the second period, and isn't available for the rest of the weekend. So the injury luck this team has had has been nuts.
Yeah.
And that's a lot of turmoil. You lose a top defender 2.5 hours before the game, and you lose your goaltender an hour into the game. It's a tough spot to be in. By and large, though, this team has played very well this year.
Absolutely. So they get the sweep, we'll get to what they're up against here this coming weekend and a little bit later in the show. On to Minnesota State and St. Thomas, and Matt Dean was there for both of those games. He calls them on the radio for the Mavericks, a 5-3 win for Minnesota State, in which they were down in this game, came back to win it 5-3 on the road at St. Thomas. Pretty crucial 3 points there. And then they get the shootout win, the first shootout of the year in the league on Saturday. Matt, what did it look like from your vantage point for both of these games?
Yeah, I mean, the home-and-home series. So Friday was in Mendota Heights, the high-scoring one, before things flipped back to Mankato on Saturday. And yeah, you mentioned it. It was kind of a come-from-behind win for the Mavericks. It was the first game this year where Minnesota State won when they were trailing going into the third period. And there were actually two different two-goal deficits at one point. It looked like St. Thomas. It felt like the life in the room had kind of got sucked out when they went up too early in the third. But Luke Ashton, the Columbus Blue Jackets draft pick, he scored less than a minute later. Just kind of a really tricky wrist shot. Like, he has a very hard shot, and guys have a really tough time anticipating how hard it's coming in. It looked like the St. Thomas's goaltender maybe got a piece of the glove to it. Tipped in, found the back of the net. So great shot, great player, but maybe a little bit of some good luck for the Mavericks. So that goal kind of changed it. They'd find an equalizer with Luciano Wilson a bit later in the period. Power play puts them up for the first time. They add a late empty net goal. I tell you what, on Friday, the biggest thing that jumped out is I think St. Thomas are really good. I still very much expect them to be a top four team contending for the McNaughton Cup this year. They came out to start the game, and I thought, I mean, Minnesota State's played Michigan. They've played a lot of top teams in the country, North Dakota. The 7 or 8 minutes leading up to the first media timeout, the amount of zone time that St. Thomas had, they did not score, but they dominated control of the game more than I've seen against any team against Minnesota State this year. Right out of the gates up to the media timeout was a dominant stretch. Credit to MSU for not giving anything up during that stretch, but I think they tired out the Mavericks a little bit. That led to maybe a couple of sloppy penalties that led to a couple power play goals later. So the Mavericks went in a hole because St. Thomas played really well to start the game. And yeah, I think Perry, I know you saw him at least one of those games against the Gophers. I was talking with some of the St. Thomas folks, and that's kind of been a calling card for St. Thomas. They came out and outplayed the Gophers arguably for some stretches early in both those games. Couldn't keep it going for three periods. Minnesota State wears them down, but nice result. And then we just had a defensive battle on Saturday. MSU wins the shootout. You got to go watch the Rhett Pitlick shootout goal, the first one to open up the shootout. That's the highlight of the game from Saturday.
Yeah, those shootouts are always a little bit interesting how they kind of ebb and flow, but it's really kind of more of a toss up, just like you see in any kind of a way to end the game without to having it take forever. So. Matt Pocket, anything, I know obviously you were busy during these games, anything to take away from kind of a battle of heavyweights here in Minnesota State and St. Thomas?
Well, I think that's exactly it, right? It's a battle of true heavyweights. And, you know, you can look at St. Thomas' record right now and you're like, yeah, you know, the record isn't all that great. I think it's kind of like Lake State in some ways. You know, I think you look at their quality of play by and large. This is a good team that went up against another one of the league heavyweights and looked like a league heavyweight. So, you know, you can look at the record right now, and I don't think there should be a whole lot of fretting taking place if you're a Tommies fan. That record maybe not where you want to be. I think that'll sort itself out over time, though. I think that's a good team. In Minnesota State, you know, this is a team that, you know, when Mike Hastings left, you know, prior to last season, you saw some people just going, well, you know, they're really going to drop off. No, they're just fine. They're doing just fine over there in Mankato. You guys, Matt, you guys have a pretty good idea of what you're doing over there. It's still a top tier program. And I still think in many ways, you know, you can look at how this team started the season against Michigan, for example. This team is still, you know, even though they didn't win the McNaughton Cup last year, I think this is still the headliner, right? This team is still kind of, until further notice, the crowned or uncrowned king of this league for the most part. And all roads eventually go through Mankato one way or another.
Yeah, that's a reasonable, it's a reasonable thought there. Just, I mean, based on the fact that you had Tech coming back to win the Mason Cup last year, and Bemidji had the second half of that they did that allowed them to take the McNaughton. Certainly take nothing away from what Minnesota State was able to do. Obviously, they were top four last year as well. And I mean, maybe just the one step down for a season, we'll see if they can get back on that plateau again as this season rolls on. To the team that is in first place, I guess one of them, because it's now all based on points percentage, but Michigan Tech swept Ferris State. In Big Rapids, that's not always an easy thing to do. With of course, Coach Daniels looking for his 500th win, he'll have to wait at least till this coming weekend to try and get that. He's on 499 still. Huskies winning 3-2 on Friday, a comeback win, and then they were in control a little bit more so on Saturday. They won 3-1. They were up 3-0 after the first period. We'll go right to Matt Pocket there as a Michigander there, and a little more familiar with Tech. This is kind of the maybe the hockey that they like to be playing, 3-2, 3-1 type games, but never really seem to be out of control after they were able to gain leads in both of these games.
Yeah, and you know, Tech is another one of these teams that's going to be right there in the mix. I think a lot of people would rightly expect them to finish in one of the home playoff places. You know, just a good squad, and I think a squad too that has been through some challenges in the last couple of years too, and hoping to really break out into that upper echelon and then hit that mark last year by being able to come back and win the Mason Cup. So I think confidence is certainly high there right now, and they've got one of the best fan bases in college hockey. They really do. I mean, if you've never been to McInnis to see a game, you're missing out. I mean, it's something else. Those people are nuts. And I mean that with the utmost respect. Those people are crazy up there. And it's a beautiful thing, you know. It creates an environment that even if you're used to packed crowds, it's different there. And I think that's one of the places, too, that you can go as an opposition team. And it's like, okay, if we can win here, we can win anywhere. I mean, because this is as tough an environment to play in. That crowd is right on top of you. It's always full. Even when there's seats to be had, it's not many. And the kind of noise and the kind of energy they bring is oppressive in a way that a lot of buildings just cannot bring. They can't. And
Mac is to find out in 2 weeks about the noise at the Mac.
So. Yeah, it's a wacky, wacky place to go do a hockey game. And one of the coolest environments in college hockey, I think. So they use all that too. I mean, that's not just, these aren't just things that exist for them. This is part of what makes them such a dangerous team too, because then they're able to use that, go on the road, and they're feeding off that energy of, you know, look what we just played in front of, right? I mean, we've got to go satisfy those people every single night. And now we go on the road and we don't have to deal with that kind of pressure. Great, walk in the park. So it's a tough place to play, and something that I think that team has used to build its identity too over the years.
That's actually the one.
Matt, Dean, anything to add to that series?
Yeah,
there?
That's actually the one place that until a couple months ago, that was the only CCHA venue that I had been to previously. But it's a great place to see a hockey game. I haven't been there in probably close to 10 years now, so I'm excited to get there again. And yeah, I mean, their Tech are in that conversation for certainly a top four team, if not better, in the league this year. Mm-hmm. They're out to a 4-0 start. To your point, they've only played one game in the home barn in league play so far. So they're going to still have a road trip to Bowling Green, you know, coming up in a couple weeks. So they're going to have a lot of home games, I think, on the back stretch of the mm-hmm. schedule. So it's against two probably bottom three, four teams that they've gotten out to the start with. But I think any league coach will tell you Ferris State is not a gimme place to come away with and take points. It's a tough place to play. It's a very offensive leaning environment for whatever reason. I've heard a lot of weird conspiracy theories about how that rink is, is 5 feet wide, and don't believe anything they tell you about the dimensions of the rink and all the pucks funnel to the center of the ice. So
that's true.
There are some crazy games. There are some wild scores. So the fact that Tech comes away with a sweep, three goals allowed against Ferris State, that's pretty good. So I think they're strong in the back end. And I think Tech with all the home games they're going to have packed in maybe here down the stretch of the season, that's going to benefit them as well too.
Can we do a CCHA conspiracy show at some point?
Yeah, you can. I'll let Matt Pocket start the conspiracy, add it to the list of shows on the CCHA podcasting network.
I would love this.
CCHA conspiracy.
Maybe on to something.
Yeah. Just iron out the details and get back to me, and we'll add you to the ever growing list here. Before we get to our interviews, guys, let's talk about Bemidji State and Augustana. A split, which is maybe what you expect coming into this weekend between these two teams. Bemidji State, a 4-3 overtime winner on Friday, a real back and forth game, and then on Saturday, Augie pulled away a little bit there. It wasn't quite a 5-1 game as the scoreline suggests as far as how the game played out. It was a much, much tighter till late. But, you know, Augustana trying to get in there. Obviously, their points percentage matters now. Their wins matter. And they find themselves in the mix here early on. Matt Dean, you've seen, I think, at least Bemidji recently. What do you think about this these two games here before we take a quick break?
Yeah, I think it's a really solid start to the season for Bemidji. I think Augustana's better than we thought coming into the season. So given that, I think not surprising to see a split. When I saw Bemidji, I got the sense they're still figuring a lot of things out. They have a lot of returning players, but I think it's more kind of guys that were in smaller roles last year, that a lot of the star power and all their all conference picks are gone, aside from a terrific goaltender in Matthias Scholl. So I thought Scholl kind of won them their points in the series a couple weekends ago against Minnesota State. I think Tom Cerutori is going to get his lineup more settled in this coming month or so. And Bemidji are, you know, like we saw with that late run last year, I think we can expect something similar, playing better hockey at the end of the year. So given that, I think they're happy to come away with that split. The loss came in overtime. I think Augustana is going to be a tough out in the league this year. So I think Bemidji's trending in the right direction. And I think if these two teams rematched again, I'd be more prone to the Beavers sweeping. But of course, we're not going to see the rematch again with the Augustana compressed schedule. But
well, not unless it's a playoff matchup.
True,
which we
true.
Could potentially see. True. Matt Pocket?
Yeah, I'm with you guys. You know, this Bemidji team, historically, they get very nasty late in the year. Goaltending typically has a lot to do with their success. They've got Matthias Scholl back. You know, ever since I got around this cluster of teams back in, you know, back in my day, right? Nasty goaltending has always been their calling card. So expect nothing else from a Tom Cerutori team. They're going to have great goaltending. They're going to play good defense in front of them. Yeah, I think they're another one of those teams that's still looking at themselves going, you know, hey, we're part of the short list of serious contenders too. Augustana, I'm with you, Matt. You know, I think a lot of people look at them as, you know, oh, you know, they're newcomers to Division One. Oh, there's some growing pains. That's a better squad than people realize, just like they were last year. I mean, people wrote them off as, you know, oh, you know, your first one Division One, you know, maybe you win a game or two. Ha ha, that's nice. You know, a little pat on the head. No. They loaded up in the transfer portal with a bunch of quality players, gelled pretty quickly, and actually had a pretty good team. They're not your average, quote-unquote, expansion team. This is a team that's going to bonk some people on the head, and they're not going to like it very much.
Absolutely. All right, Matt. Matt, thanks. We're going to take a quick break and hear from a couple of CCHA student-athletes, and we'll be back with more in the upcoming weekend here on the CCHA Show. All right, joining me now on the CCHA show is Dawson Tritt, senior forward and assistant captain for Lake Superior State. And first of all, Dawson, just want to welcome you to the show. And, you know, it's great to have you on for a few minutes today.
Yeah, thanks for having me. I appreciate it.
The Lakers coming off of a big sweep of one of their rivals, Northern Michigan, but we'll get to that in a second. First of all, I want to talk to you a little bit about yourself. You're from Washington State, you're from Spokane, not necessarily considered a hockey hotbed, but how did you get into the sport as a kid?
My dad threw me on skates when I was about 4 years old. So, I mean, kind of a classic story there, but, yeah, I've been doing it since 4 years old. So it was kind of, he played growing up, so threw me on the skates and I loved it. So I haven't looked back since.
Very cool. And you played a little bit in the BCHL. What was that experience like for you? Obviously, being able to, after being on the West Coast originally, you're probably not too far of a travel wise, but I'm sure it's a little bit of a shock to your system being away from home for the first time, maybe.
Yeah, no,
actually,
it wasn't my
first
time
before that, I should say. Yeah.
Yeah, it wasn't my first time away from home, but it was definitely a new experience going onto the island. Took probably a whole year to get used to the weather there and just the small town vibe, but I loved Port Alberni. I loved the playing in the BCHL, so no regrets there. I miss it a lot. So yeah, really, really glad I got the opportunity to play in Port.
Spent a season with Lone Star as well down in Texas. Where did you kind of realize you wanted to make that move to college hockey, or was that always part of your plan since you were playing in juniors?
Growing up, I mean, we had the WHL team there in Spokane, the Spokane Chiefs, so that was kind of every kid's dream growing up. But as I got older, kind of started learning about different routes and the college route, and then ultimately ended up playing in the BCHL and the NHL. So I ended up committing my 20-year-old year. I was in the BC at the time, but it was during COVID. So I committed in Alberni and then ended up going to the NHL to finish out my 20-year-old year. But that's kind of how that process went, just going to the BC and then learning more about the college route. So
you got to, you know, Lake State. You guys have, you know, had some ups and downs, had a good run in the playoffs last year. What were some of the things that you kind of have taken away from your first couple of years there now into your senior season that have made you a better player, you think?
I think just developing my game overall. I know you're playing against men, especially coming in as a freshman. It's a fast pace, faster pace, and things happen faster out there. So that was an adjustment I had to make from coming out of my freshman year, and then just building confidence and developing a role within the lineup has helped me a lot here at Lake State. I have great coaching staff that has been putting me in great or giving me great opportunities every year I've been here. So that's been a huge part as well.
You kind of jumped onto the scene a little bit last year. You guys all had a kind of an offensive explosion, more maybe as the season went on. You scored 13 goals, 12 assists last year. Does that just kind of come with the territory as far as confidence, and obviously playing with good line mates will help you? You scored a couple of nice goals this last weekend off of nice feeds from Sasha and things like plays like that.
Yeah, I mean, I think going off last year, obviously playing with Melbourne and Westcott, they got off to a hot start there last year, and then we kind of built some chemistry going on in the later half of the season, and I ended up having a pretty good second half. So I give a lot of credit to those guys, and just had a lot of success in the power play last year as well. So kind of finding my stride this year, this season so far. Obviously had a good weekend last weekend, so just looking to build off that.
And this, for people who don't know, the rivalry you guys play for the Capo Cup, which is a season-long trophy based on the four games you guys play with Northern. And last year you needed a big comeback because you were down going into that last weekend, but you were able to pull it out in the goal differential department. How much do you guys talk about that before the games or during the games, or kind of, especially for the guys who've never played in this rivalry before?
Yeah, no, the Capo Cup's huge for us every year. It's when Northern comes up, that week building up to the weekend, you know, there's a lot of energy and excitement that goes into it. Like you said, last year was pretty cool. You know, we had to come back after losing those first two games, and we ended up winning with the goal differential, as you said. So that was a huge win for us last year to get it back. But since I've been here, we've had it the two out of 3 years. So this year we're obviously looking to make that 3 out of 4, and we got to a great start last weekend. So that was huge.
Yeah, great start for sure. Do you like playing at the Barry? Is it that you place you enjoy? I know they changed the dimensions of the rink a little bit, made it a little bit smaller.
I do like it there. I think it's a good energy, obviously good crowd when, especially when we're there. So I've always enjoyed playing there. But yeah, they switched up the ice finally, but it's still a little different.
still a little too big.
Yeah.
For you guys, you guys are so close to, Canada, and you have, I just saw that a recruit from the OHL committed to come play for Lake State. I know it'll be after you're gone, but what do you think of this whole, I mean, it might have changed your path at some point previously, but do you think it's a good move for kids to be able to come from Canadian hockey to play in college hockey, or is it still kind of up in the air as far as you're concerned?
I think it's a great move. Obviously it's crazy that it's come to that growing up, you know, was just not a thing at all, obviously not in the conversation. So it's to me, it's cool to see, just the evolution and, where things are looking, and the future, for college hockey looks bright. And so I think it's a good thing overall. Yeah.
That's cool. I'm trying to get some players' opinions because we hear from coaches and you hear from administrators and things, but ultimately it's like it's player movement. It's similar to the portal, right? Where you have kind of your own ability to create your own path and you're not confined so much to regulations. Is that kind of how you see it?
Yeah, I think you hit it on the head there. You know, giving players kind of the opportunity to choose their own path. But yeah, you hit it on the head. And yeah, it's just cool to see how things have come since I was growing up, you know, figuring out what I wanted to do with my career. So,
and we'll see what it turns into, how many players commit and how old they are and kind of how that kind of stacks up, how many years they play in Canadian hockey and come over. So I think there's still a lot to be kind of worked out, but it's interesting to see some early commitments to a couple of schools, including the Lakers recently here. For your group, I know you played Michigan State tight that first game. You've had kind of a weird start to the season because you had the two exhibitions where you scored a ton of goals, but obviously those don't count for anything per se, and then had a tough weekend, bounced back with another good weekend. So still a lot of hockey left for you guys, but do you feel like you're headed in the right direction?
Yeah, I think as far as those first six games, I think there was a lot of adversity we faced just on the ice and within the group. But I think we have a really resilient group, and we're not pulling away from each other. We're pulling together, if anything. So this past weekend, I think, demonstrated that. We're not going away. We're not going anywhere. You know, we're going to face our challenges head on. So it was exciting to get those two wins last weekend and really just, like I said, build some confidence as a group. And I think we can use that to move forward. And I just think league play has a big, big thing to do with it too. You know, going into league play last weekend was obviously on our mind with that and the Capital Cup. So I think we put together a great weekend, and it's something to build off of for sure.
And your freshman goalie, I know you've had some injuries at the back end there, but Rourke Appleby was, I mean, especially Friday was probably one of the better goaltending performances you've seen as a college player or maybe even your career?
Yeah, he's been a rock for us. It's been noticeable since the start of the season in practice. He's a great goalie. Yeah.
And then one of your transfers Schweitzer there had a big weekend for you guys, putting up points. You had three goals as well. When you get that kind of contribution from different, you know, stages of the team, different areas of the team, that is that kind of what coach kind of harps on or what you guys consider to be a quality overall performance by the group?
Yeah, he definitely made that a point after the weekend, was just a good contribution out of everyone in the lineup. And it was obviously good to see, you know, Rourke get goalie of the week and Nate got defenseman of the week. So kind of just the point was team success comes with individual success. So great to see those guys have a great weekend. And like I said, we're just looking forward to build off of it.
You guys are headed home now this weekend for a couple here. I think one of them may be in, is this the game you're playing down in?
Traverse City.
That'll be an interesting weekend then for you, I'm sure. A little bit different than the normal Ferris weekend, right?
Yeah. Get on the, we play here at home Friday, and then we're going to sleep at home and then bus to the game. So it'll be a little different. Yeah.
All right. Well, yeah, you one game up the at Taffy Abbott then. So for you guys, just kind of how this things are looking. I know you got, I think a couple more non-league games to go here, but it's really for the most part going to be conference play. And you had, like I said, last year you had that playoff success, making it to the semi. Do you kind of harken back to that group a little bit? Obviously, it's a lot of the same group, but you do have some newcomers in there.
Yeah, I think one of our big goals this year is to achieve home ice for playoffs. I think that was one of the things we kind of learned last year, was how important home ice is. But yeah, I think we have a lot to build off of coming from last year. And, you know, we had a huge first round win there to get to the quarterfinals and fell short to Bemidji. But like I said, just something to build off of. And yeah, I think our freshmen and the incoming guys know where our heads are at and what our team goals are. And I think home ice is one of those things that we're really looking to achieve this year.
Aside from the Capo Cup, how much does history and kind of tradition stand out or matter to Lake State hockey for people who don't maybe have never been to Taffy Abel or don't follow the team closely?
Yeah, it's huge. I think it's one of the main reasons why I came here. It's a very small town, but everyone loves hockey. Everyone loves the team. Everyone wants to see the team win. So, we have the bell tradition after every win where we go out and ring the bell. I think that's really unique tradition in college hockey. And it just goes to show how much the community cares about the team and wants to see us succeed. So it's been really cool in my time here. Haven't made it further than last year in the playoffs in my time here. So I think, especially as a senior class, we really want to make a push this year and just, see where the community, see how the community supports us the deeper we go. So that's one of the things we want to see as well. But the community is great here, and it's a hockey town for sure.
Passion, talent, development. NCAA hockey offers all that, and its players graduate at a 93% rate. Trevor Zegras.
And they score on the lacrosse move.
Jake Gensel.
Gensel banks it towards the goalie. Score.
Kale McCarr.
He scores!
Stars on campus before the NHL stage. Whether you're a fan or a player, nothing compares to college hockey.
My goodness gracious me!
Visit collegehockeyinc.com and follow at College Hockey.
All right, joining me now on the CCHA show is redshirt sophomore Cole Birch from Ferris State. And Cole, thanks for coming on the show and talking some Bulldogs hockey.
Yeah, of course. Thanks very much for having me.
Cole is a transfer from Western Michigan to Ferris State this season. So this is his first year with the Bulldogs out of Markham, Ontario. And I like to talk to some of you guys that come over from, come from Canada, come play in the States and the college game. And you played with the Toronto Patriots in the OJ, then some time with Youngstown in the USHL. What was your kind of junior career like, and how did it kind of set you up to go to college, and when do you kind of make that decision?
Yeah. So, like you said, I mean, my first 2 years as a junior, I played in the OJHL for the Toronto Patriots. Probably about 25 minutes from my house back home, which was nice. So the travel was pretty easy to get to the home games and stuff. The summer after my second year in the OJ, I was drafted to the Youngstown Phantoms. That following upcoming season, I went to the Phantoms camp, ended up making the team, played on Youngstown that year, came back for my last year juniors, my age out year. Then I was traded to Cedar Rapids pretty early on in the season. But after my first year of being in Youngstown, I committed to Western Michigan. Being from Canada, like you said, it college hockey was never really in the picture. It was always kind of the major junior leagues, like the OHL, kind of, which was close to me. So, kind of getting to the USHL really opened up that path of becoming a college hockey player.
Do you think, and I talked to Dawson about this too earlier from Lake State, but do you feel like this decision that's been come down that allows Canadian Hockey League players to go on and play NCAA hockey, do you see it as a positive? And what are some of the things that come to mind when you think you consider, maybe what your path may have been like, or player guys that you played with growing up might have been like if this were the case a few years ago?
Yeah, I mean, it's definitely, I personally think it's a positive thing. I mean, for Canadians, I mean, I didn't make it to the OHL, but with the new change in things in these upcoming years, I mean, I think it's a good thing. I mean, for players coming out of minor hockey and even junior, the lower junior leagues, to go to the OHL and the WHL and that type of thing. And, maybe just getting their first 2 years of high intensity hockey and kind of if they want to develop even more and end up committing to, a college or university and, you know, playing, you know, more, I don't know, higher intensity hockey, but just a different type of hockey to develop their game and be ready for the pros. I think it's a positive for both Americans and Canadians, honestly.
Yeah, that's the way I kind of see it, but I don't really have the Canadian perspective on, you know, there's kids that you have to make that decision pretty early, right? Whether you're going to be on this track or the other. And now it kind of does it, just creates kind of more branches to a tree.
Totally. Yeah, for sure. I mean, you know, for me, I guess, because I obviously wasn't being able to go down the path that they can go down now. I mean, you know, playing juniors, you know, like I said, like if you don't make the OHL, you got to start to think about the college route. But, you know, having the opportunity now to be able to, you know, kind of get your feet wet in major junior and get that confidence up. And then, like I said, if you want to, you know, get that game, kind of play with, you know, a higher age group of, you know, because college hockey kind of ranges from 20 to 25 year olds. Just being able to get that development from going from major junior to college can be a major help getting yourself ready for the pros and stuff.
Yeah, I think, and I've worked in college hockey for 20 years almost, but it just feels to me like that college is taken a lot more seriously by not only the, you know, different pro leagues around the world that they've kind of always been an opportunity to go, whether it's even the K, but like in Sweden or other parts of Europe, even Japan. I had a friend that played a number of years in Japan, professional hockey, but also just the NHL has swung heavily towards drafting college players. Do you feel like that there's an opportunity, whether you want to stay and play, whether it's the E or the AHL a little bit, and then have an opportunity if you have that success to be able to go play in the NHL?
Yeah, I mean, yeah, like you said, I guess, you know, the NHL teams have kind of gone towards, you know, people would say more towards drafting and, you know, guys from the NCAA route. I think, again, that I think that's just more because it's more of a heavier, heavier type of path. You know, I think that, you know, obviously, those major junior leagues in Canada are very, very, they obviously produce a lot of very talented hockey players. There's no question about it. And a lot of good players go on to have, you know, amazing careers in the pros. I think both routes, regardless, is a great way to, you know, develop your game and get that opportunity to be ready for the pros. You know, I just think it's all about how you perform. And if you're good enough, they'll find you. It doesn't really matter if you're playing NCAA hockey or in the OHL or those major junior leagues over there in Canada. But, you know, I just think it's obviously what you think is best for your development and getting you prepared.
I think it's the right way to look at it. I think, yeah, I really appreciate your kind of insight into this as being a player who, you know, obviously chose this route and you're working your way along here. Kind of ties in a little bit, I think, to the transfer portal and something that you utilized. And some of the guys that I've talked to who have gone to the portal say, it doesn't matter who you are. It's a little bit of a scary moment, right? To kind of not know your future, but you obviously found a good landing spot here with Ferris, and you've taken advantage of the opportunity you've had.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, you know, it was definitely a nerve wracking moment for me. You know, kind of hopping into the portal and, you know, putting it all out there. But, you know, like you said, it worked out for me. I'm very happy to be a Bulldog and be able to, just help this team as much as possible. And, you know, it's not been nothing but an easy adjustment for me, and, can't thank, everybody here enough. So.
Yeah, Cole, you have 3 goals and 3 assists through 12 games here. You scored your first collegiate goal. You get one against your former team, Western Michigan, which I'm sure felt good. I believe that was on home ice, wasn't it?
Yeah, it was.
In a home and home you guys had with Western there. You know, a tough weekend for you guys against Tech, but they're one of the class teams in this conference. And how much do you enjoy playing not only in this league, but at Abel Gleben and getting a chance to play in front of your home crowd. You've had a couple of games this year that have had great turnouts.
Yeah. Yeah, no, for sure. I mean, it's been good. I mean, especially the weekend, our first weekend against Miami.
Yeah.
You know, we were fortunate to have, everything college hockey, in the building, which was very nice. So, yeah, I mean, it was sold out. I'm pretty sure if not pretty damn near close, but, it was awesome to play in front of. I mean, that was my first time playing in that arena, overall. So being able to see it, packed and filled was pretty special. I mean, it definitely helped us perform to the best of our ability. So, we've been lucky to have some good crowds in that building, and hopefully we can you know, pack that place a little more throughout the season. So,
we're hoping that you're able to, and giving the fans something to cheer about is always great. You guys have done a decent job putting the puck in the net this year. You get a chance to play another conference series this weekend in Lake Superior State. Kind of an interesting weekend where you go play in their barn, then you go play in Traverse City for one, which is a new thing this year for everybody. I'm sure your mentality is going to be the same going into this weekend as others, but how much of that wrinkle have you guys even talked about, if at all?
Yeah, no, we're excited for the weekend. Obviously, for sure, we're excited to, we're obviously trying to get on the other side of the spectrum between winning and losing. And, we think we've been playing good hockey. We've just been coming up on the short end of the stick. I mean, we definitely do need to be, putting up a little more offensive points. We think we've been, slanting the ice, towards our favor these last few games. We think we've been playing good hockey, but it's just we're excited for the weekend, especially in Traverse City. It's close to us here, so and we know it's like a charity game kind of thing. Yeah. And being able to expand and grow the game, which will be nice. And we're looking to obviously come out with the win this weekend, we've been getting ready these last few days of the start of the week, and we're ready to go.
Very cool. And, you have a guy like Caden Gault who's kind of stepped up his performance from last year to this year. He's already got 5 goals this year. And, another fellow transfer in Max Itagaki, who has 6 assists already. What has he told you? I mean, he played at Army, and that's got to be a different experience for him coming over to Ferris.
Yeah. 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 He's, it's definitely a different lifestyle for him. That's for sure. In the rink and outside of the rink, for sure. Iggy, he's definitely a heck of a hockey player. He's a smaller guy, but that doesn't define his game at all. I mean, he's a heck of a hockey player. He's got unbelievable vision. He sees the ice like nobody I've ever seen before. He finds you in situations that you don't think you'd ever get the puck, even when it looks like he's in trouble.
Yeah.
He'll somehow find you, but, he talks a lot of stories about Army and stuff, and how it's been quite the adjustment for him.
Yeah, it seems like he's getting along pretty well as you are as well, coming into your own here a little bit. Noah West, another transfer in goal. He's been rock solid for you guys, between the pipes coming over from Michigan. It seems like people that have used the transfer portal in a positive way. It's so far, I mean, we're not even halfway through the season, but it's so far had a really positive impact on your guys' careers, getting opportunities and that you didn't previously have.
Totally. And I mean, that's the good thing about the portal that, I guess some people might not see is it's obviously there's a lot of players that are in the portal, but it's also a lot of players that, haven't got the opportunity at the places they've been previous. It's a lot of kids that are, determined to, show their talents and prove themselves. And I think that, the portal's a great opportunity for players like myself and West and those types of guys that, unfortunately didn't get the opportunity that they had at their first spot, but they're looking to prove themselves at, places that might need them.
Absolutely. Cole, for you, I know, you know, you've come down, you know, come down from Canada, playing in the U.S. a little bit. Obviously, you're drawn to Western. Ferris, not too far away, I guess. But what's been your, I guess, what do you miss most about, you know, Canada? Was it, what are some of the things that you, on a day-to-day basis you grew up with that you maybe miss playing, you know, a couple of years now? You've been in the U.S. for a decent amount of time now, but what are some of the things you still miss about your home country, hometown? Anything stand out?
I don't know. No? You know, I mean, it's for me, I don't know. I mean, it's kind of, you know, like it's just hockey to me. I mean,
okay.
If I was to say anything, I'd say, you know, I'd like to hear that Canadian anthem sometimes, but
okay.
No, I don't know. I mean, it's I kind of just like to take it in as much as possible. You know, that kind of thing, but I can't really pinpoint anything that, you know, I could specify, I guess.
That's fair. No, that's a fair answer. No, I know that some schools, especially ones that are close to the Canadian border, they play the anthem for every single game.
Right.
I think it's a school by school choice, obviously, in that regard, but, no, I used to work at RPI, and we played it for every single game. It didn't matter who we played; it was both anthems. But I'm guessing you may hear it in this weekend. But I guess we'll have to see.
Oh yeah, probably.
They're not too far from the border up there.
No, not at all.
All right, well, Cole, thanks for coming on the show. We appreciate you as always, and I'm sure we'll talk to you again at some point, and we'll be watching this weekend.
Yeah, definitely. Thank you very much. I appreciate that.
All right, guys, welcome back. CCAJ show. We only have about 14 minutes left to get these in. So we'll talk about the upcoming weekend. There are five series here, two non-conference and three in the league. We'll start in conference here with Lake Superior State hosting Ferris State. One of the games is in Sault Ste. Marie. The other is in Traverse City. Mm-hmm. Something they're trying out this season is a little change of pace, Matt Pocket. And what are we expecting, I guess, from either of these games or both of them?
I think for this Lakers squad, it's going to be continuing to control games, right? I think when this team has looked good, that's been the MO. I think when you watch this Northern Michigan series, Lakers probably were in control in some way, shape, or form, 110, 115 minutes out of the 120 played throughout the weekend. So, and not just, you know, oh, they've got the puck and they're running all over the offensive zone or whatever. Defensively, too, they forced everything out wide. They protected the danger areas very well. And when the Cats were able to generate some chances, there's good goaltending and Rourke Appleby right there to deny. So, I think for this team, it's continue to exert your control over the proceedings. And for Ferris State, be that tough, scrappy out. You know, if you're tough, scrappy out every night out, well, you're gonna take some of these games. This is a Lake State team that I think wants to establish itself in that upper tier in the league. And for Ferris, you're sitting there just going, no, you're not. Not on our watch. So, you know, with and that's just on Friday, right? And then you've got Saturday where you have a quick turnaround time. You're packing up, going 3 hours away to Traverse City for a showcase game, the Superior Ice Showdown Traverse City Takeover. There's going to be some alumni events going on, lots happening. That's going to be a big game feel, I think, for both of these sides. You're playing at Summer Ice Arena, which is where the Red Wings run their training camp. So big game feel.
Very cool. Very cool. Good. It's good to reach out there. I know, like, it's a little semi GLI kind of action, getting down to another part of the state and showcasing the league. Matt Dean, anything to add there before we get to the Mavericks series?
No, I think that's to me the most interesting series of the three that we have to pick from for CCHA this weekend. I agree with Matt Pocket. I think Lake Superior State, I mean, just from watching from afar, are the one that I'm most intrigued to watch, because I just don't feel like I have a great sense on where they're at yet. They've clearly separated themselves from maybe that bottom rung of the CCHA? Where do they fall in the middle, or maybe as a top four team? I think to keep the trend arrow up, I want to see, you know, points each night in that series against Ferris State. So that'll be curious to see.
Fair point. Fair point. Fair point. Northern heading to Mankato for two this weekend here. The Mavericks trying to continue their home success. It feels like they've been home for quite a bit of this season so far, which is, I know you're traveling no matter what, so it doesn't really matter for you, but they're at their home rank again, and they get, I guess it's a rematch of a couple of seasons ago's Mason Cup final, but a much different Northern team and a pretty different Minnesota State team than 2 years ago, but at the same time, still plenty to play for, trying to chase down the top teams as far as the current standings sit here, Matt.
Yeah, this is maybe a potential trap series here where I think Minnesota State needs to make sure they come out with a lot of energy, really strong, and establish themselves in the first period. I think it maybe could be natural to look ahead to next weekend at Tech. I think just in general, like Minnesota State's schedule is really strong. You could make a case three of their first four opponents outside of this Northern series are the other best three teams somewhere in some order in the top four of the CCHA coming into the year. So you can't overlook it. You know, I listened to last week's podcast and Jared and Trent laid plenty of concerns out for Northern Michigan. I think what Matt Pocket said earlier is valid. Like, it's just a team that has very little chemistry with four returning players from last year. So I think they could certainly be more competitive in the second half. The Mavericks need to make sure that turnaround doesn't start this weekend. I don't think Northern Michigan have been particularly unlucky to be where they're at this point. I mean, they're last in the country in goals per game. They're bottom five in goals allowed per, not had a lot of puck time. Minnesota State really hasn't had any like comfortable cruise to victory kind of wins. Like, everything's been close. Everything's been intense. I'm not chalking up a sweep for sure, but I think it would be behoove of the Mavericks to win a couple games, get some points. And I think if they can work in some guys that are desperately clawing for playing time right now, in particular at the goaltender spot, because Alex Tracy's been so good. There's a lot of goalies that are playing well in practice, talking with the staff, that are itching to play. So if you can get into a scenario where at least one of the nights you can maybe run up the score a little bit and find a way to maybe let a freshman make his debut, a transfer. There's three goalies. There's some good ones in Mankato that are itching for some playing time. So Minnesota State, I think, just needs a nice, easy win. Maybe I'm just saying that for my heart rate a little bit this weekend, but there hasn't been anything comfortable. Give me maybe one blowout this weekend. We'll see.
The margins are generally thin, and that's the trouble you find trying to sneak in a start for or even minutes for another goalie when you got to make sure you get the full three on any given night there. Matt Pocket, anything to add there before we jump into St. Thomas and Bowling Green?
I thought it was so interesting. There's a roster card available on Reddit, of all places, from March 9th, where the Northern Michigan Wildcats played Minnesota State, and that was the final game of NMU's season. Last year. So
yeah,
you're talking, I can't count, but that's what, 8 months ago, 8 months and 3 days now. One guy in that lineup, Jacob Peterson, still plays for NMU. Of the four guys still with that team from a season ago, two of them actually went in the portal and came back. So you're dealing with such a weird situation there, where not only do you have to learn a new coaching system, you have to learn new teammates. Everybody else is going through all of this with you as a new player in that program, and you don't even know where the grocery store is, right? I mean, there's little stuff like that. Like, okay, you know, what's a good place to get a sandwich? And you look around at your teammates, and none of them have any idea either, and you're all going to have to go find that little basic stuff out together. The reality is, I think most teams in the league look at situations like that and they go, okay, those are league points and we need to pick those up. And I think if you drop points to a team in that situation, you view it as lost points. You view that as, uh-oh, what did we do wrong? Now, again, like I said earlier in the show, I think with this NMU group, I think there's good talent here, and I think they'll gel in the next year or two. But the short-term reality is that everybody else in the league is going to look at you like dinner going forward. And I would think Minnesota State would approach this from that perspective too. The Mavericks are going to expect all 6 points out of this series.
St. Thomas hosting Bowling Green here. This has been a little bit of a rivalry, even in the couple of short years that the Tommies have been a part of CCHA and Division I hockey. They've had some battles. I know there's been a DQ, or at least a suspension out of one of these matchups a couple of years ago. Of course, I think all those players have since graduated and moved on, but you know those things tend to linger a little bit. But should be a competitive series. Bowling Green, they're the ones that didn't have any transfers leave Matt Dean, and now they're headed to St. Thomas, a team that's hungry to get back on the winning trail after only picking up the 1 point last weekend.
Yeah, it's been a nice long stretch for St. Thomas at home. Other Matt's already said it. You can't be deceived by the record for the Tommies right now at 2-5-2. You know, two against arguably the best team in the country in Minnesota. They've had a pretty tough slate in the CCHA to open the year. I think this is going to be a good series. I expect to start to see some of the results more accurately reflect how St. Thomas have played this year. I just came away thoroughly impressed with that team. One of their big bugaboos was the power play. They snapped out of an 0-for-19 to start the year at the tail end of that Augustana series. The power play looked really good. They had three power play goals against the Mavericks on Friday. So they get the special teams rolling like I think they are right now. I think we're going to start to see some results start to flip. So I tend to lean Tommies in this series. I think if not a sweep, maybe points on each night's for St. Thomas. So I think they're getting a little tired from the moral victories of looking good for stretches. And they want to start bagging some points here. And I think that could start this weekend with Bowling Green.
Sounds about right. Matt Pocken, anything to add there?
I think with Bowling Green, they had such a tumultuous year last year in so many ways that, you know, having the stability now, you know, kind of like what we'll see with Northern in the next couple of years, it's a breath of fresh air, isn't it? You know, when you're able to get some consistency, I'm not surprised BG is playing well right now. I think that's a good squad that, you know, again, it was well documented just how many other things they kind of had going on a year ago that just kind of sapped away at morale a little bit. And now it's like, whew, okay, breath of fresh air a little bit. The Tommies, on the other hand, I think there is a little bit of hunter versus hunted with them too. You know, this is a team that a couple of years ago, they're a new team in Division I, and they start hitting these little mini milestones. And then they had a real breakout last year where they, you know, they jump up to second in the league and they look like a real smasher for a while too. I mean, this team looked like for a period of time, they might even go run away and hide with the league championship in the regular season. I mean, that was a really impressive squad. I think now there's no surprises when it comes to the Tommies. I think people look at them and they go, okay, we're not dealing with a fairly new squad trying to get comfortable in Division I. We're dealing with a legit power team here in this conference. And I do think there's something when you're able to flip those expectations, it also flips not just your own internal perception, but how others perceive you too and how they approach the game. What tactics do they use? What's their approach to the contest? Do they get up for this? Like, again, you know, okay, boys, we need to take care of business and take all 6 points this weekend. Or, okay, boys, we're in a fight with one of the top teams and this can establish us as a serious contender. So this is a huge series. And Perry, like you pointed out, they don't seem to get along very well either. So that adds that extra little dash of intrigue in there that makes for a really potentially spicy stew. I like that, especially on a cold fall day.
All right. Well, I know you like to talk about food on the show, but we'll have to wait another week for that. Guys, we do have two non-conference. One is actually exhibition. Augustana is heading to Plymouth to take on the U.S. Under-18 team there. And then also, of course, we need to mention at least, the Beavers are playing a home-and-home with the Gophers starting on Thursday at Mariucci. They go up to Bemidji on Saturday. The Gophers look like a top, I don't know, one or two team in the country. Maybe not just unseating Denver because of the fact that I think the Pioneers are still undefeated. But before we get out of here, Matt Dean, anything to add on that series? And we'll get you guys out of here in a hurry here.
Yeah, I mean, we mentioned it. I mean, I think Matias Scholl could make it interesting. I expect at least one of those nights to be tight late. And I think the Beavers could steal some points. They've got a great goaltender. I think the defensive core is solid. They're kind of built from the back, built from within. They're used to hitting teams on the rush, creating a lot of their offense on the rush. So, you know, I think the knock on the Gophers is always they've got as many skill guys as you can possibly have, but maybe sometimes they lack some gritty performers, some tough guys to win some battles consistently on the walls. So I think Bemidji will be comfortable playing without the puck, sitting in, relying on their goaltender and keeping it close. I expect them to keep it close at least one of the two games and potentially find a way to get a split here.
All right, Matt, before we get out of here, send us out.
Yeah, I think you're right. I think playing without the puck is going to be key for them. They've got great goaltending. Those interstate games between all these Minnesota teams are just always big fight feel, main event of the evening type stuff. I expect more of that. And then with Augustana against the U.S. under-18s, I mean, that's always a talented group down there in Plymouth. You know, Lake State played them. I mean, they play such an intensive schedule. There's a few guys. I think their big forwards are the ones that amaze me the most because those guys can all skate like crazy too. I mean, anybody like 6'4 or taller playing for that U.S. under-18s team can just fly. So they're a challenge. I don't know if they're quite what they've been in prior seasons and they turn the roster over every single year, but it's a good group and they've got some guys that are definitely going to go to the show in a couple of years.
All right. So Augustana fans can look for that. I know they have a free stream of those games online. So we'll have those available on the website. I want to thank both Matts for coming on the show. I'm sure we'll have you on again, maybe even together. We'll see. But thanks for talking some Mavs, some Lakers, some CCHA hockey.
Thanks, boys.
Yeah, thanks for having me. We can break up the Matt monopoly once like Lake State gives up a power play goal this year or something. I thought it was just like superstition on why we were keeping that going.
No. We'll split you guys up. Don't worry. Or bring it back together later. We'll see what the fans want. All right, guys. Talk to you soon. We'll be right back.